So our next speaker will be His Grace Akurinath Prabhu. If you would come on up here. So Hare Krishna, Jai Balaram. So we're hearing about how Balaram is the original guru, and this is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the chapter in the Adi Lila on Lord Nityananda, who's also Balaram. Narottam Das Thakur sings Balaram Hoile Nitai. Rajendra Nandana Jay Shachishuta Hoila She Balaram Hoile Nitai. That Krishna has come now as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram has come as Lord Nityananda. And we see, in fact, we were already hearing from Sachidev how Balaram has these qualities that although he's actually Krishna himself, the first expansion of Krishna, that he has the mood of serving Krishna and instructing others about the truth of Krishna. And of course, usually the incarnation of Krishna himself isn't present on earth, and the spiritual master can be a devotee of Krishna, a jiva. The song we sing for Mangalartik, the Guru Vashtakam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, gives the verse that Shakshadharitvena samasta shastra uktastata bhavyat eva shadvi kintu prabhur ya priya eva tasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. That the spiritual master is, because he's a confidential servant of Krishna, then he's accepted as good as Krishna, directly. Because like an ambassador from a country, you must show the respect you show the country. And so the proper way to actually learn how to serve Krishna is to serve his servant, accepting him as Krishna himself. Even though he's not an incarnation of Krishna, Balaram is directly Krishna, Parabrahman, but he may be jiva, but playing that role as guru. So Balaram gives spiritual strength. You must obey his order. You have to have faith in the spiritual master, that faith, yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru. The mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of Lord Nityananda, is that you become free from attachment to material enjoyment. You have that strength, that vairagya, that determination to make progress in spiritual life. No matter what comes, you must catch on firmly like that. So there's the Vedic aphorism, in the Upanishads, in the Mundaka Upanishad, there's one verse that begins that Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhyo, that without Bala, you can't attain self-realization. And some people have some nonsense interpretation has been given that means you have to be very physically strong. You know, some spiritual, so-called spiritual leaders in India were saying, oh, while we're too poor in India and people are physically weak because they don't eat enough, so first we have to concentrate on economic development and then we can take to spiritual. So anyway, of course, that's ridiculous, and Prabhupada spoke against that. That Bala doesn't mean you have to be physically strong, but Bala means you have to have that spiritual strength, that spiritual strength that comes from faith in Krishna and in the spiritual master, determination to carry out the orders of the spiritual master and to make spiritual progress, detachment from, becoming just a plaything of whatever material nature how material nature moves you. Hena nitai bine bhai Radha Krishna paitene. You can't understand Radha and Krishna without getting that mercy of Lord Nityananda. That mercy is that you become very happy because you become free from being at the mercy of the whims of your mind and senses. You have spiritual strength. So that's what's meant by without. But Prabhupada often said that verse, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo, means without Balaram, we can't attain self-realization. And all over Vrindavan, there are so many temples of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, different temples of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada established, as far as I know, the first temple of Krishna and Balaram to show that Lord Nitai Gauranga worship is also the same as Krishna Balaram worship, and that Balaram is the guru. It's Guru Gauranga, Krishna Balaram. We have to get the mercy of Balaram in this way as the original spiritual master and get spiritual strength. Otherwise, we'll never understand Krishna. Jai.
Thank you to Karunath Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
You're kidding, right?
How do I do this thing?
Sorry for the inconvenience.
Yeah. It goes over the ears.
Yeah, that's over the ears. Sorry.
Like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other one pin up close to
okay. Just upheld.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Last night when the full moon started rising, I looked outside and I'm up in the hills above Salinas area, above Monterey, and looked up at the moon and went, wow, there's Lord Balaram's Purnima. And I actually went and took a picture of it when you were talking earlier about meditating. It was like, yes, this is Lord Balaram's moon. It'll be very beautiful tonight. And I was reading different pastimes of Lord Balaram to prepare my consciousness to be thinking and praying to him today. And one of my favorite pastimes I'd like to share with you is from the Krishna book. And it's after the, it's actually called the marriage of Sambha. So Krishna's son, his grown son by his wife Jambavati, his name is Sambha. And Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana, was to have her swayamvar. And she was going to be able to choose any prince that she wanted to marry. And Sambha decided that he wanted her, and she wasn't inclined to pick him, so he took her away by force. This very greatly angered the Kuru elders, and especially her father and grandfather, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. So the Kuru elders decided that they would forcibly arrest Sambha. They wouldn't kill him because they didn't want to damage their daughter's future, that she would never be able to be married. But they wanted to punish both Sambha and the Yadu dynasty for their impudence. Let me get this right. Is the echo on it bad, or is it just me?
Put a little bit further away from your mouth.
Like that. Oops, too far.
There.
How's
that's
that?
Perfect.
Okay. So you're not hearing my breathing. So they actually broke the Kshatriya rules of conduct by having five or six Maharatis attack Sambha. And he was such a qualified Kshatriya, he actually fought with all of them very beautifully and strong, but they did overcome him and arrest him. So Narada Muni took the news immediately to the Yadu dynasty, and the Yadus were very angry. Not that he had been arrested, but unfairly, because that's against the Kshatriya code of conduct. So because the families were so close, the Kuru dynasty and the Yadu dynasty were very close, Balaram took it upon himself. He was always known by the Kurus as their well-wisher. So he took it upon himself to come there and make peace and request that Lakshmana, that Samba be released and that Lakshmana and Samba be able to come and have a beautiful wedding ceremony and be properly welcomed into the Yadu dynasty. So Balaram took permission from King Ugrasena and the other elders of the Yadu dynasty, and he took many of the elders with him, and he took many Brahmins and many gifts and many just really to welcome and make peace. So when they heard that Balaram was outside the city gates and he had come in peace, not with an army, but with the elders and with all the brahmanas and all the gifts, they were very happy because, again, they knew, oh, he is our well-wisher. Because there was some fear that there would end up being a fight, a very large fight between the dynasties. So they actually, when they first came out, they worshipped Lord Balaram, and they brought him gifts and everything else and gifts for the Brahmins. And then Balaram very patiently waited, and then he requested. He said, I come as a messenger of King Ugrasena. I'm here to request that you immediately release Samba and Lakshmana. And so they became very enraged that he was ordering them. Like, how dare the Yadu dynasty, who was just, you know, who was inferior to us, how dare they order us? How dare Lord Balaram? So when they were worshiping him, they were seeing him and respecting him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then as soon as he gave them an order that they didn't like, then they became so angry, and so much so that... I'll read some of this because it's so powerful. It's so wonderful. Oh, these words are very astonishing, but quite befitting the age of Kali. Otherwise, how could Balaram speak like this? The language and tone used by Balaram are simply abusive, and due to the influence of this age, it appears that the shoes befitting the feet want to rise to the top of the head, where the helmet is worn. So they went on insulting, not Balaram directly, but the Yadu dynasty. And Balaram, it's described, he patiently heard their insulting words and their uncivil behavior, but he was burning with anger and thinking of retaliating with great vengeance. His bodily features became so agitated that it was very difficult for anyone to look at him. And he said, even the king of heaven, Indra, abides by the order of the Yadu dynasty, and you consider King Ugrasena, the head of the Bhojas, Vrishnis, Andakas, and Yadavas, to be the leader of a small phalanx. Your conclusion is wonderful. If you are thinking like that, you deserve to be taught a very good lesson. So, on this day, I shall rid the whole world of any trace of the Kuru dynasty. I shall finish them off immediately. While talking like this, Lord Balaram seemed so furious that he looked as if he could burn the whole cosmic creation to ashes. He stood up steadily and, taking his plow in his hand, began striking the earth with it, separating the whole city of Hastinapur from the earth. And then he began to drag the city toward the flowing water of the river Ganges. So inside the city, it was like the most incredible earthquake anyone had ever experienced, because not only was the earth trembling, but now it was moving. Imagine. So this got their attention. When the members of the Adu dynasty experienced what was happening, they became frantic, they panicked, and immediately they carried out the order that Lord Balaram had previously given them. Immediately they brought Samba with Lakshmana behind him and brought him in front. And they all offered obeisances at his feet and begged his forgiveness. And now, using good sense, they said, "O Lord Balaram, reservoir of all pleasures, you are the maintainer and support of the entire cosmic situation. Unfortunately, we were all unaware of your inconceivable potencies. Dear Lord, please consider us most foolish. Our intelligence was bewildered and not in order. Therefore, we have come before you to beg your pardon. Please excuse us. You are the original creator, sustainer, and annihilator of the whole cosmic manifestation. And still, your position is always transcendental. O all-powerful Lord, great sages speak about you. You are the original puppeteer, and everything in the world is just like your toy. O unlimited one, you have a hold on everything, and like child's play, you hold all the planetary systems on your head. When the time for dissolution comes, you close up the whole cosmic manifestation within yourself. At that time, nothing remains but yourself lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu. Our dear Lord, you have appeared on this earth in your transcendental body just for the maintenance of the cosmic situation. You are above all anger, envy, and enmity. Whatever you do, even in the form of chastisement, is auspicious for the whole material existence. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you because you are the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences and potencies. O creator of innumerable universes, let us fall down and offer you our respectful obeisances again and again. We are now completely surrendered unto you. Please, therefore, be merciful upon us and give us your protection." So all of the prominent members of the Kuru dynasty, headed by Bhishma Dev, Arjuna, Duryodhana, they all were there offering their obeisances, begging Lord Balaram's forgiveness and attempting to appease his anger. So I was thinking how Lord Balaram, he's so kind. He's actually all of our well-wisher. He's inclined to all of us as the original spiritual master. He's always petitioning us to come to Krishna, to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. And if we don't do it voluntarily, he'll get our attention in another way. So he'll break our attachment to the material world, to our material bodies and our illusions, and he'll drag us to the lotus feet of Krishna, where we surrender. So today's a good day to take the opportunity to pray to Lord Balaram that we do it voluntarily with his beautiful smile and benedictions to not only encourage us, but to give us that strength. It's nice that when you're talking about strength, all the different ways, you think of all the different ways that Lord Balaram gives us strength. So, thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Kusha. And let's give her one more big welcome, too, for coming. Actually, like, a really big, and we'll Hari Bol with our arms in the air.
Hari Bol!
Srivas Prabhu. Now we have our pundit, Srivas Pundit, our very own.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
After all the exalted personalities have spoken, there's not much left for me to speak. But nevertheless, it's the order I have to speak, so I'll speak a little bit. Lord Balaramji is the first expansion that Satyadeva Prabhu was mentioning of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Purna Brahma, who is full in himself, doesn't need anybody for his service. Yet he expands himself as Lord Balaram for his own pleasure. And Lord Balaramji serves Krishna in so many ways, by becoming his umbrella, by becoming his bedstead, by becoming his slippers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead serves himself in one sense, but they are two distinct, different identities, nevertheless on the same level. And Lord Balaramji is said to be maintaining the entire cosmic manifestation, using the same words of Bhagavatam, which is a favorite of Vaisheshi Prabhu, Otam Protam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like a cloth, if you hang it, the threads of the cloth are there horizontally and vertically, and they are sustaining the cloth. It's the same way the Balaramji is sustaining the whole universe. Nevertheless, the pastimes of Krishna and Balaramji are so beautiful that I will have the shamelessness and the audacity to speak on the same pastime which Satyadeva Prabhu spoke about Pralambasura demon, about Dhenukasura demon, sorry. So Krishna and Balaramji, they were going from Pauganda to Komara age. And at that age, it was especially a mischievous age. And they would just go out, they would herd their cows and calves. And one day they were going in the forest, and then their friends of Krishna, they said to Krishna and Balaram, especially those three were Soka Krishna, Subal and Arjuna. They said, "Oh my lord, there is a beautiful forest here, the Talavan forest, where there are nice tall trees and we want to eat them. But there is this big demon called Dhenukasura, who is very powerful and who is guarding this whole forest with his friends, and nobody can go. See, the nice, sweet fragrance of tall fruit is coming and carried by the winds, but we can't go in there. You both are great personalities. You have killed many demons. Now you should kill these, because we want to eat those fruits." And petitioned by the friends of Krishna, both Krishna and Balaram went to the Talavan forest. And Balaramji was the first. Krishna killed many demons before, but in the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the first demon which was killed by Balaram, was Dhenukasura, who was in the form of an ass. So Balaramji went like a huge giant elephant into the forest, and then he started shaking those trees. And then because of this loud shaking, Dhenukasura was disturbed. He said, "Who is this who comes into my abode?" And then furiously he looks at Balaramji, and with his two hind legs, he tries to kick Lord Balaram. Lord Balaramji is patient for a while, and then he gets angry. He catches hold of those two demons' legs, hind legs, and whirls them around and throws them on top of the tree. And while he is whirling the demon around, the demon loses his life. And then he's thrown onto the top of the tree. Now, ass have ass friends. So all the ass friends of Dhenukasura, they come and they try to kill Krishna and Balaram. And but in the same way, both Krishna and Balaram take them and kill them. And then it's said beautifully in Srimad Bhagavatam that just like on a nice sky, there are like clouds, the scene was like that. From a material perspective, it has been ugly. Imagine like having donkeys on top of treetops, dead. Doesn't look very nice, but in Krishna's pastime, it looked very beautiful that all these donkeys were decorating the treetops. Our acharyas actually have given a little more insight into this particular pastime of the killing of Dhenukasura demon. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Krishna Samhita has said these following words about this particular pastime. Sthula buddhi swarupoyam gardhavo Dhenukasura Nashto bhut baladevena shuddha jivena durmatihi. That he said that this Dhenukasura demon represents the faulty judgment or crooked intelligence which is there in the heart of the living, heart of the conditioned living entities. And by the grace of Baldev, we can pray to him to kill this demon of faulty intelligence. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the senses are superior than dental objects, and mind is superior to senses, and intelligence is even superior than mind. So a person who possesses of intelligence which is crooked, which is there in everyone of at least my heart, we should pray to Lord Balaram to get rid of this crooked intelligence. Otherwise, what happens is a person may have a lot of piety, but to actually understand the purport of Shastras and realize the Shastras, one needs pure intelligence, which is given by Lord Baldev. So on this very auspicious day, we pray at the lotus feet of Lord Balaram to give us the proper intelligence to actually understand and stay steady in the devotional service. Thank you very much.